Exodus chapter 4. Now, as Moses was leading his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert, the Lord God appeared to Moses. This was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And he declared to Moses that he was sending him into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel. And he declared to Moses that he would be with Moses. And the Lord declared everything that he would do for Moses and his people in delivering them out of Egypt. And the Lord told Moses that the people would hearken to him when he came preaching the word of the Lord. Now we pick up now in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. Exodus 4 and verse 1. And it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And that's a reasonable conclusion if it was left to a man to make God's people hear his voice. We couldn't do it. And so the Lord gave Moses power to work three signs, three wonders. And the Lord assured Moses that by these signs, his people would hear the word Moses preached and they would believe him. Now this morning we're just going to look at the first sign, the rod of God. Now this sign that we're going to see, this sign typifies the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. It typifies the gospel of Christ and Him crucified, and it typifies the work God works through those who hear it. It typifies what we preach, typifies what God works through those who hear it. Now Moses is being sent to declare the name of God, and he knows he has no power to make the people hear. And we're sent to declare the name of God. We have no power to make the people hear. But it's through this gospel, this rod of God, that is the power of God unto salvation. It's the word God blesses to make His people hearken. So it's a beautiful type. Now let's read the text. Exodus 4, verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And the Lord said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and he caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they might believe," this is what the Lord said now, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." Now, first of all, the rod in Moses' hand was just his shepherd's staff. That's all it was his shepherd's staff. It says there, the Lord said, "What's that in thine hand?" He said, "A rod." Remember, he's on the backside of the desert, and this is the staff that he's using to lead his father-in-law's sheep. That's what it was. Now, the staff is a very appropriate type of the gospel of Christ, because Christ leads his sheep through the preaching of the gospel. There's a very appropriate type we have here, and we find this type many times in the scripture. Go to Leviticus 27. Leviticus 27. Here, the shepherd's rod was used to determine which sheep a man was to tithe under the old covenant law. Watch how it was used. Leviticus 27:32. This rod is used to separate the sheep. Watch this. Verse 32. "Concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock," talking about a man's sheep, "even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord." You get the picture. Man was to hold the rod out, and the tenth that passed under that rod, those were to be separated out. They were sanctified by them passing under that rod. They were sanctified to the Lord, to be holy to the Lord. Well, through the preaching of Christ, the Spirit of God sanctifies God's elect in our hearts. He sanctifies us in our hearts. He gives us a new heart, and He makes us believe the gospel. And through this work, through the gospel, through the rod of God, God separates His sheep from the rest of people in this earth, and He separates us unto the Lord, that we might be His possession, His holy vessels, His holy sheep. Now go with me to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Just right after Jonah. Micah 7. Right before Habakkuk. Here we find Christ our shepherd doing exactly what He does with His rod, what He does with the gospel of Christ. Here's Christ our shepherd doing exactly what He does with the gospel. Watch. Micah 7, verse 14. It says, "Feed thy people with thy rod." The margin says, "Rule thy people." And that's what God does. He feeds us and rules us by the gospel. That's what Christ does. Micah 7, verse 14. "Feed thy people with the rod, with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage." Heritage means it's His inheritance. It means it's His people. It's His elect, His remnant. "Feed thy people with the rod, thy flock, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood." That's a description of us. We dwell in this world solitarily, alone, apart from the rest of this world, by God's grace. He says, "Feed them in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old." And that's what we're doing right here. He's feeding us with His rod. And by feeding us, He'll rule in our hearts. He'll rule over us by this gospel. Now, the most familiar in Psalm 23. Turn there with me. Psalm 23. We're most familiar with this type right here. Psalm 23, verse 4. You know, this is that great psalm that speaks of the Lord being our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now watch what He does here in verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's where we're walking right now, every day of our lives. We're in the valley of the shadow of death. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It's through this gospel that Christ, our head, promises to be with us. And it's through this gospel that He makes His presence known that He's with us. And it's this rod, this staff, this gospel of His person and His work by which He makes His presence known, He makes His power known, and He makes His protection known to us. And it's through this word, this rod, that He comforts us. That's why the disciples are set forth with the message, comfort ye, my people. Because it's through this rod, this gospel, that He comforts His people. All right, now secondly, let's go back to Exodus 4. Exodus 4. Now we see why God's elect must hear the gospel of Christ. We see why we must hear the gospel continually. Now, Exodus 4:3, He says, "And the Lord said, cast it on the ground. And He cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." Now, you know the serpent in Scripture represents the devil, and it represents sin. That's what the serpent represents. You remember how He came into the garden? The serpent came into the garden and beguiled our mother Eve. And through that beguiling, Adam sinned. And the serpent, his bite represents the poison of sin which causes our death within us. Well, the gospel of Christ is our one weapon. That's the one weapon we have, the gospel of Christ. And by this one weapon, Christ overcomes the devil in the hearts of His people. He overcomes sin in His people through this gospel. It's the gospel whereby Christ enters in and takes dominion. And by doing that, He makes His people believe the gospel. He makes us hearken to His word. That's Moses is being sent with this rod because this is the means God's going to use to make the people hearken. And this is the means, the preaching of the word is the means whereby God's going to make His people hearken unto Him. But now, if we cast this weapon from us, if we cast this rod from us, we have no power against the devil. We have no power against sin. We can't make anyone believe at all. This is the problem in the world right now amongst so-called churches. They've cast this rod to the ground. They're trying to use other means, less offensive, something that'll appeal to people to get them into the church. And it doesn't work. If we don't have the gospel, we don't have this rod, all there is the serpent and sin. And what we'll do is the serpent will send us fleeing. He'll make us flee, just like Moses fled from the serpent. So we have to hear the gospel. We need the gospel. We need it constantly. Now, thirdly, we'll spend a little more time here. This is where we see the power of the gospel. This is the power of the gospel that we preach. This is the substance of it. This is the message of it. This is the power right here. Verse 3. The Lord said, cast it on the ground, and He cast it on the ground. Now turn with me to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. The Lord commanded, cast it on the ground, and God's servant cast it on the ground. He obeyed. At God's command, when the time came, Christ came down to this cursed ground where we live to dwell on this earth. The Son of God came down because it was prophesied He would. Look at Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. There's coming forth a rod out of this. You get the picture of a family tree, a tree. That tree's going to be cut down, God said. But out of it's going to come a rod. And that one's going to be Christ. Out of the stem of Jesse, a branch, that's a rod, shall grow out of His roots. Look down at verse 4. With righteousness shall He judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. That's His people. And He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth, the gospel of Christ. And with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. Look down at verse 8. And when He does this, this is going to be the result of this work in His people. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. That's a snake. That's a serpent. He's saying when He does this work in His people, the serpent's not going to harm His people anymore. Sin's not going to harm His people anymore. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They're not going to... The old devil, the serpent's not going to harm His people anymore. Sin's not going to harm His people anymore. Let me just read Jeremiah 23 to you, if you want to turn over there. Jeremiah 23:5. Listen to this. Talking about Christ coming down to the earth and doing His work as God commanded. God commanded Moses, throw that rod on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. God commanded Christ to come down to this cursed ground. He came down to this cursed ground. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous rod, a branch. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice where? In the earth. He coming down. He come to this earth. Come to this cursed ground. And in his days Judah shall be saved. That's His people. And Israel shall dwell safely. He's elect among Jew and Gentile. And this is His name whereby He shall be called. And it's the church's name too. The Lord our righteousness. A few verses over, He says, this is the name wherewith she shall be called. Right here He said, this is the name wherewith he shall be called. And He speaks of the church and said, this is the name wherewith she shall be called. The Lord our righteousness. So Christ came down to the ground. He came down to this cursed earth, just like that rod was cast on the ground. Well, when that rod was put on the ground, God made the rod a serpent. God made that rod into a serpent. That's how it became a serpent. God made it a serpent. Scripture says on the ground, it became a serpent. Turn to John 3. Do you remember, now I remind you, the serpent is a picture of sin. Picture of sin. Now, if you remember in the wilderness, whenever the children of Israel rebelled against God, picture of our rebellion in Adam, when they rebelled against God, God sent serpents among them, and the serpents bit them and they died. Many of them died. Well, we sinned in Adam. We rebelled against God in Adam, and the serpent bit us. And sin entered in and we died. Death passed upon all men because we were all in Adam. And do you remember in the wilderness the remedy, the cure that God provided for the children of Israel? God's provided a cure for His elect, for His people. In the wilderness, God provided a cure. He told Moses, take a piece of brass, a beautiful, spotless, pure piece of brass, picture of Christ our Lord. And He said, take that piece of brass and make it a serpent. Make it a serpent. Make it to be the very thing that's biting my people and killing my people, and lifted up on a pole. And when the people look to that serpent, lifted up on that pole, they'll be saved. And that's what happened. Now look, what does all that mean? Look here in John chapter 3, verse 14. Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Sinner, I'm telling you, you've been bitten by the serpent, and sin's in you, and if you want to be saved, it's got to be by God alone. It's got to be by Christ's work alone. Look to Christ. Believe on Christ. The only way we can be saved. Now, Christ came down to this earth, made of a woman, made under the law. And He made Him sin for us who do no sin. God, just like He told Moses, you make that serpent. Take that brass and make a serpent. Make that brass to be the thing that's killing my people. Well, in order for God to justify His people and remain just, Christ had to be made the thing that was killing His people. In order for God to pour out justice on Him, He had to be made the thing that was biting His people. And He made Him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now this is the heart of our gospel. The just God who will not clear the guilty, remaining just, and Him being the justifier in Christ our substitute. This is the substance of our gospel. Well, that happened for God, and when He did that, when He made Him sin, He made Him a curse. That means He poured out all the wrath of God on Christ. That's, remember, Adam sinned, and he was made sin, and then God pronounced the curse on him, and all that curse came upon Adam. Christ was made sin, and God imputed that sin to him and made him a curse, because He deserved it. When He was made sin, I know that's strong language, but when He was made sin, God was righteous because at that point Christ was made sin and He deserved to be punished by the wrath of God. That was the purpose of which He came down. Now He knew no sin, He did no sin, and He would never sin. Even when He was made sin, in His heart, He remained holy to God, trusting God on that cross. You find it all in the Psalms. But He had to be made sin and made a curse for us. And so He did that. He completely suffered to the full, thorough satisfaction of divine justice. And when Christ satisfied the justice of God in the place of His people, He destroyed the devil and his power. He destroyed the devil and his power. Our text says, The Lord said to Moses, when that rod became a serpent now, look at it now, that serpent as a picture of the devil. And the Lord told Moses, now you reach forth your hand and you take hold of that serpent. He said to Moses, you put forth your hand, you take the serpent by the tail. And he put forth his hand and he caught it. And here's Moses now. Get the picture. He's the mediator between God and the children of Israel. And God commands him, reach forth your hand, take hold of that serpent. He obeyed God. And hanging there on that cross between heaven and earth, between God and His people, is Christ, the one mediator between God and men. And what He's doing on that cross is obeying the Word of the Lord even unto the death of the cross. He's obeying God. He's our righteousness. He's obeying God. And He's doing it, putting away our sin. And when He did that, when he laid hold of that serpent, He took all the devil's destroying, accusing, condemning power away from the devil on the cross. When he laid down his life for his people. That's why he came. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much as the children were flesh and blood, he took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil had the power of death. And he came to destroy him that had the power of death, the devil, and deliver them. That's what Moses is going to do, to deliver Israel. And he came to deliver his people who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, what was the devil's power of death? What was his power of death? It was our sin. And it was the law wherewith he accused us to God. He accused us to God using our sin and the law. But Christ fulfilled the law for all God's elect so that Satan cannot use the law to terrify us and condemn us anymore. He can't come and use that law now to terrify you in the court of your conscience, and he can't use that law to accuse you before God. And Christ so thoroughly put away our sin that there is no sin before God for Satan to accuse us of. So the power he had over us is gone. Because Christ put it away. You remember when Joshua the high priest stood? Scripture says he stood before Michael the archangel. That's Christ Jesus the Lord. And he stood before with Satan at his right hand. And Satan was resisting him. Jude is quoting about that passage in Zechariah when he says he was disputing about the body of Moses. It wasn't Moses' literal body that was buried out back there in the wilderness. He was disputing about the law of God. He was accusing Joshua the high priest before God. And Christ didn't even rebuke him. He said, the Lord will rebuke you. He said, because of what I've done for my people in putting away their sin and satisfying the law, Jehovah God will rebuke you, O devil. And Zechariah says, the Lord, Jehovah, said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Why? He looked at Joshua, that high priest, and he said, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? You know what a brand is when it plucks out? When you take it right out of the fire, it's dirty and sooty and it's smoking. Well, when Joshua, the high priest, was first pulled out, just like me and you, when he's first called out by God, he's all sooty and smoking and got a lot of those old grave clothes on him. And Satan was trying to use that to accuse him to God. But he couldn't accuse him because Christ put away his sin and satisfied the law. And so the Lord told Satan, get out of here. He's just been pulled out of the fire. And then the Lord came forth and took his garments off of him and clothed him. Listen to this. In Revelation 12:9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's what Christ accomplished for us at Calvary. And He ever lives to intercede for us now so that Satan can't accuse us to God anymore. And one of these days, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. It'll happen very shortly. He's going to completely, thoroughly do away with the devil altogether. Now, that's the gospel we preach. And then, after our Lord accomplished His work on the cross, our victorious Redeemer returned back to the right hand of the Father where He was before. The God-man mediator. And it was just like that rod. When it all was said and done, that rod was right back in Moses' hand, right where, like it was before. Our text says, He put forth His hand and He caught it, and it became a rod in His hand. It was just like it was before it ever went down to the ground. And Christ right now is in the heaven with God our Father, like He was before He ever came down here and redeemed His people. And now Christ is ruling. Turn with me to Psalm 2. Now Christ is ruling, and He's reigning, and He's doing it through the preaching of the gospel. This is how He's ruling our enemies, and this is how He's making His people willing to believe on Him. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Listen to this. Let me get there. Psalm 2. Look at this. Is that verse talking about why did the heathen rage? Why did they think they could actually defeat God on the cross? Well, look here now. Psalms 2:6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Christ is risen, the King. I will declare the decree. Christ said, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod. With a rod. With a rod of iron. That's the gospel we preach. His power, His wisdom, through the word of God. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Go to Psalm 110 now. He's going to destroy all his enemies with this rod of iron. But now watch this. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. You know where this gospel is coming to us from? It's coming out of heavenly Mount Zion from Christ our Redeemer. Our head. He sends the rod of His gospel, the rod of His strength from heaven's glory into His churches, into the hearts of His people. And what happens when He does that? Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. That's what He does. And who are those enemies? Well, we're all the enemies of God in our mind by wicked works. But He rules in us, and what does He do when He does that? Verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast to do of thy youth. Now let me show you one more thing very quickly. The reason God gave Moses this rod was to show it to God's people, and God promised to work exactly what we just read in the hearts of His people. Look now, it's Exodus 4:5. After He gave him this rod, everything we saw, it would be like this. It'd be like God revealing the gospel to me, the gospel of Christ to me, and showing me I have no power without it. I'm going to flee from Satan and the sin without this gospel. Showing me everything Christ did in coming down and accomplishing my redemption on the cross and destroying the works of the devil and going back to the right hand of the Father, ruling in the hearts of His people now. And then God said to me, I've shown you all this to send you forth with this rod for this reason. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. He said, I'm sending you forth to make them believe. And they're going to believe through this rod. It's through the gospel of Christ that Christ rules from His throne in glory, reveals Himself in our hearts, and makes His people willing to believe on Him. Now, there may be somebody sitting here and they say, I think that I don't see any power in the gospel you're preaching. I think that's foolishness. Well, at first, Moses is just holding a staff in his hand out there tending the sheep. And if God would have said to Moses, without showing him any of this, Moses, take that staff right there and go forth and show this to my people and they're going to believe on you. Moses would have looked at that staff and said, that's utter foolishness. They're not going to believe just from this shepherd's staff. But then after God revealed all this power in that rod, just like after God reveals the gospel in our hearts, Moses went forth with confidence, not with a shepherd's staff. Look down at Exodus 4:20. He didn't go forth with just a shepherd's staff. Look at this, verse 20. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now you remember Moses wrote that. And Moses don't say, I took my staff. He says, Moses took the rod of God. My point is this, brethren. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jew, it's a stumbling block. Unto the Greek, it's foolishness. But unto us who are called, unto us in whom God's power has been revealed in this gospel, through this gospel, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and He's the wisdom of God. It's the rod of God to us. This gospel is the rod of God to us. To some, it's just Moses' staff. To us, it's the rod of God. Paul hated it. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he hated the gospel. But when Christ met him on the road to Damascus, revealed Himself in him, and sent him forth to preach Christ, to preach His word, Paul wrote this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's why Moses was shown this rod. It pictured the gospel. And Moses went forth, not ashamed, to take the gospel of God and declare it, knowing through it God's going to reveal to them what He revealed to him through that rod. And that's why we preach. That's why, you know, if you've never heard the gospel and had the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God revealed to you through that gospel, to make you behold the power of God is in this gospel, in what Christ accomplished and the revelation of Christ, if you never experienced that, you won't use the Word of God because you don't think the preaching of the gospel is power. But if you experienced it, that's all you'll use because you know this is where the power's at. And that's so. All right, brethren, let's stand together. We thank You, Lord, for the message. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the gospel. We pray now You truly make us see Christ in it, all that He's done, and save us by Your grace. Make us rejoice in You and work that power in Your people. We thank You, Lord, for this word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.